Blog Talk Radio.
It's a Blog Radio Show.
Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and I apologize for last night. We had author Michael Sheik on the show last night. We're talking about his new book, The Six Fix, and the Soul Lessons from The Wizard of Oz, How to Follow the Yellow Brick Road. And we had some technical difficulties, so that's why we're doing this show again this morning. So welcome back, Michael.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Can you hear me okay?
I can. It's a little bit spotty. It doesn't seem to be as bad as yesterday. How are you doing?
I get it. I don't get it. But anyway, I was just apologizing to the folks about our issue last night. I went out to our platform, and needless to say, I was not a happy camper, and it is the weekend, so I probably won't hear from them till Wednesday, but that was absolutely ridiculous. I apologize to you, Michael, and to our listeners, and we were in a great conversation.
Even you are human.
Exactly, I know.
Even you are human.
I know, but I was just so disappointed because we were in such a great conversation, and I was just so upset because we were in such a great conversation, and we lost it. But anyway.
Well, let's do it again.
Yes, yes. Second time's a charm. Well, third time's a charm. This is to be the third time that you're on the show now.
Well, I'm no longer a virgin, so I'm even more experienced.
Exactly. Well, as we were saying last night and what we're going to talk about today, Michael has written an immense amount of books, but his two most recent books are The Six Fix and hold on one second. I keep losing my train of thought. Soul Lessons from the Wizard of Oz, How to Follow your Yellow Brick Road. These are both spiritual healing books to fix yourself. That's in regard to the Wizard of Oz book. And How to Fix the Country with the Six Fix. So Michael and I were discussing the craziness of what's going on in the country. Last time he was on the show, he was going to Washington to see what he could do to help fix everything. And fill people in again, Michael, how that went.
Well, you know, I was invited down to Washington to meet with a number of different people, and I brought the book with me, and I said, look, give this a look. It's simple. It's easy. It's nonpartisan, but it's not vanilla. It has all of the, you know, the powerful ideas that are in both parties, but when it come bring it together, we bring it together not for one person's opinion or the other person's opinion.
Right.
It puts it on a solid life foundation. Are the laws we are making and is the way the country is working, does it produce better lives? And in all ways. You know, you can produce better lives by giving people a couple of coins extra in their pocket, and that's one way. But you also have to be able to create better lives by making sure their kids are educated and not have $500,000 worth of debt. You also have to be able to make sure people can get the best health care available so that they stay alive. There are many, 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 many things that produce better lives. And I think that if the United States, on both parties and beyond parties, because parties themselves are problems, would start to think in terms of, does this benefit real human people and real human lives, I think we'd have a solid foundation to agree upon.
Right. But you mentioned that you had some good response from both sides, both parties, right?
That's the most amazing thing. I have been so blessed. I mean, so-called right-wing people, they see themselves in the book. So-called left people see themselves in the book. And that tells me I'm on the right track to truth. Because
right.
Truth is way beyond political parties. Truth is
right.
Bigger than any one person.
Right. Right. Now, in the
so
six fix.
I'm optimistic.
Right. In the six fix and both the Oz, it's really spiritual healing. It's an easy thing to say, but do you think it's an easy thing to do?
Yes, it's an easy thing to do, but you have to learn how. It's like learning how to ride a two-wheeler. You know, initially you have to have someone running alongside the bicycle holding the seat. But once you get your momentum up, the person can let go of the seat. And you don't even know that they've let go because the momentum
right.
keeps you going. It's like anything.
Right.
And spirituality is extremely simple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Everyone makes it, you know, woo, woo, woo. It's very woo, woo and very supernatural or very religious, which causes problems. Very simple. Spirituality is how life works for good. I mean, we live, so we produce good, okay?
Mm.
And that's it's that simple. And God, the word God, which is very, everyone debates the word God, which is a nightmare. The word God is just a contraction for the word good. That's where it comes from.
Right.
And an experience of good is an experience of God.
Mm-hmm.
So that we want to have a more godly nation, we have to have a nation that produces good. And it's that
right.
simple. And spirituality is very easy.
Right.
Once
now,
you learn
now,
the guidelines.
Now, what bothers me, Michael, is that, you know, I'm not a religious person. I believe in God. I've got values of raising my children to treat people kind, with respect, and do unto others as others would do to you, maybe, depending on the situation. But, I mean, now the Bible, obviously, is saying, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery, and the list goes on. But these conservatives are okay with what is going on with all these things that are against the things in the Bible. So why are they being accepted now?
Well, wait. So tell me, what are the things, just get specific, what are the things that the conservatives are doing that are okay in the Bible?
Well,
okay,
they're accepting the fact that Trump, I hate to get political, but they accept the fact that Trump has assaulted women. And what is that? I mean, God?
Well, I'll tell you something. There are certain camps, and I don't want to get lost in religion, because religion, when it's not aligned to truth and when it's not aligned to correct spirituality and goodness, can be a very dangerous, just so anything that is religious doesn't necessarily mean it's from God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me be clear about that. But
right.
in certain religious camps, which are conservative, very conservative, tending to be evangelical camps, there is a teaching, all right, which is that God can use the sinner for salvation. And many of those people actually know that Trump is what they call a sinner, and there's no doubt in their mind. But they see that they believe that he is an instrumentality, even if he's a sinner, for God to do his work. A biblical example of that is Jonah, okay, in the Bible, or Balak in the Bible, where the person's clearly what we call a sinner, but is an instrument by which God accomplishes what God wants to need. I can give you a terrible example. You know, without Adolf Hitler, the modern state of Israel would not have been recreated. Now, many people think that Hitler was a divine instrument by which the suffering reached a point and Israel returned. And these are extreme religious views. They are not my views. But many
right.
religious people have that. And so on the outside, to the person who isn't religious, it looks like sheer hypocrisy.
Right.
All right. And in fact, frankly, morally, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're holding moral values, and then you're saying it's okay to have a patently immoral president, okay, and who is supposed to be an example as a leader for everyone to follow. So, you know, all I can tell you, Joanne, it doesn't make sense because it doesn't make sense.
No, it
but
does not.
But they have their own way of thinking. They have their own way of thinking. God bless them. This is a great country. It has different people in it. My mission is to put all of this stuff, whether you are a religious person or an atheist or a humanist or an agnostic, all of us function within the laws of life. Life operates a certain way. That when
right.
you learn how life operates and you design your religion, your government laws, your marriages, your family, your PTA, your cake sales, all in alignment to how life works for good, you get good results.
Right.
The results are God-blessed, and they endure, which is
right.
the single sign of the presence of God from a religious point of view, is that the good work stays and endures. Okay?
Right.
And that's and that's the core thing. It's not just producing good, but it's an enduring good.
Right,
okay,
right.
Which
but
we
now,
don't
listen,
have in the U.S. right now.
Now, a lot has come out since the last that you were on the show. The proof is in the pudding. The man tried to, you know, steal an election. I mean, he tried to stay in power, and yet they still follow him. I mean, I don't understand it. I don't understand it.
Well, let me put it in a completely different context, which is, by the way, a habit that I have, so bear with
okay.
me. When George W. Bush was in an election with Al Gore, okay,
yeah.
and he did not have the popular vote.
Right.
The election was decided by the Supreme Court for the first time in the United States history. Now, the minute that opened up the door, now no one looks at the election anymore. They're all looking to the court to decide it. Now, we have taken one step towards an authoritarian government where the court, right, an elite group of people who are there for life determine the president. So you can fault Trump all you want, okay? But you have to look at it in the context of the fact that the Bush election was contested questionably in Florida, where his brother was governor.
I remember
Al
that.
Gore had the votes, and it opened up a door where our democracy no longer trusts the voters, and they're looking to play political and legal games. Trump, I consider to be a symbol a lot of the machinations that have gone before.
Right.
Okay. And I don't fault him completely because there are things I must tell you. Don't yell at me. There are things about Trump that I liked.
No, I know you've mentioned it before.
I'm not saying there are things about him that are 100% terrible. There are things about him that I really liked and I think should be studied by other presidents. All right? For instance, speaking directly to the population. Now, FDR did that in the famous fireside chats. Trump did it through Twitter. I'm not saying he used Twitter correctly. I'm not saying he didn't use it as a tabloid. But the people felt the connection directly to the president. That's
right.
good and healthy.
Right.
So I think that was an innovation that we need to learn about.
Right.
Okay? All right? He was a master of media. Also, he was himself. And so many presidents play games with their public image, and this, that, that. Trump was Trump. Trump is the same person as president as he was when he was in New York, and we shot a commercial at my, you know, my old career in advertising, and we shot him in a Pizza Hut commercial. He hasn't changed. There's no surprises here. There's no surprises here.
Right.
So, you know, I think you have to take a look at it in context, and I am a firm believer that there's good in everything, but it's up to us to clear away all the mess and see the lessons.
Right.
Okay? All right? It's not just black or white. Trump bad, you know, Biden good.
Right.
Okay? You can't think like that, especially today when Afghanistan has crumbled after 20 years of dead soldiers and trillions of dollars lost. Okay? It's another Vietnam. It's worse than a Vietnam.
Mm-hmm. Now,
so,
let me ask.
No one is perfect. Everyone
let me ask you this. What happened between in the 60s when John Lennon said, we're bigger than the Beatles, and the Southern Bible Belt destroyed the Beatles, but now everybody says Trump is God, and nobody had a problem with that?
Well, because this is the insanity of opinion. You know, everyone, I'm a basic person, okay? There's truth, and everyone has an opinion. And some opinions can be closer to the truth, but there is not a single opinion that is 100%.
Right.
No one. Mine isn't.
Right.
Yours isn't. President Trump's not. President Obama isn't. We are all human beings, and we are all flawed.
Right.
We are all flawed. And that, I do tend to agree with evangelical Christians, which call everyone a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
We are all flawed, okay? We are all imperfect. When the Republican Party and the Democratic Party start thinking of themselves as human beings with weaknesses and stop pretending to be perfect in their thinking process and listen to each other and learn from different opinions, that's when we can pull this great country together, because we're going to learn even from our enemies. Even from our enemies. And that's the gift. That's a spiritual gift.
Right.
Okay?
Jesus now,
says, resist not evil. He doesn't mean that leave yourself defenseless. It means be very careful and listen, because you're going to learn a mirror of yourself.
Right. Well, that you mentioned evangelists, and I have a little problem with them, too, because they are all this high and mighty, self-righteousness, but they're crooks and sex fiends themselves. So, I mean, I don't get it.
Well, of course, it's called hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy. It's part of the things that human beings do. They say one thing and they do another thing.
That's
okay?
True.
And it is a human nature that the more strident someone is, the more absolute this is wrong, you can be pretty sure they're fighting themselves on the inside, which is why so many evangelical preachers have found themselves in compromising gay situations.
Yeah.
Where they are condemning. Why? Because basically, on the inside, they're closeted and afraid.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, this is human nature. This is human nature to condemn most what you're most afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And even on the liberal sides of the politics, you're getting extreme left-wing radicalism, which is every bit of condemning. As on the right side, they're condemning differently, but they're still condemning. So if we as a country bring ourselves a mirror in the form of a president that's condemning, we have to wake up and look at ourselves and say, why did I vote for a mirror of someone who condemns? What do I have to learn from this? Do you see? And that's what a spiritual way to look at things are. Is yes, there are things that are right and wrong and stuff like that, and they can be very simple. But we also have to look at each other spiritually. What are you teaching me with my opinion? with your opinion, you know, when the World Trade Towers was bombed by a radical fundamentalist religious group, no one in the United States, I mean no one, asked themselves the question, why did that happen? Immediately after, a right-wing fundamentalist group in the United States started excluding anyone else but themselves from God, from the righteousness of God. As far as I'm concerned, from a spiritual point of view, sowing and reaping, we got back the extreme fundamentalism that we were putting out. Now, I know that's a frightening idea, okay? And I'm not justifying bin Laden at all. His immorality played in the dance. But I think it was very much an answer to the extreme radical religionism that we had been putting out there before we were attacked.
Right, right.
And we have to, a spiritual eye says, let me look closely at what these people who I'm calling evil are teaching. And first, you know, let's look to ourselves, clean up our own act. You know, I have a Donald Trump on the inside of me. Okay? Mm-hmm. I can be fast. I can be quick. I could be, I have that on the inside of me. And the things that I don't like about him,
I
look to myself.
Yeah, I think we all do,
but
Michael.
But the spiritual way of looking is to say, okay, I hate him, therefore there must be something in me that recognizes that this is not right because it's on the inside of me. And that's a spiritual way of looking.
Right.
We, you know, now, clean up our own plate first.
Right. Now,
and everyone
for those
has to take responsibility for themselves.
Exactly. And those of you who don't know, Michael is also a rabbi, and that's where the spiritual aspect comes in his books. So now, again, we mentioned last night quickly in regard to the six fix. Can you share a small tidbit without giving too much away in the book of how spirituality can help everybody get through what we're going through right now with the country?
Sure. Well, first of all, even though I'm a rabbi, the book is not religious. It does not use the term God at all, because the word God is so confusing. Everyone has a different meaning, okay? Mm-hmm. It's about creating goodness. The six fix is a very simple guideline on how to make decisions. And the way it makes decision is, what are the most important things for a to benefit human life?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And now when you're making a decision to benefit human life first, that sets a priority in motion. So as I told you last night, what's the most important thing to you, Joanne, and you with your family and all that? And I said, no, it's air, because you can't live 4 minutes without it.
Right.
So the six fix puts everything on a life-centered foundation. How is this world designed, or how did it evolve, or how does it just exist, so that we can have positive goodness and life? And those are the priorities that come first. So there are two different kinds of six priorities. One is called value priorities. In order of priority, after you have life, the most important thing is health. Value priority number two is peace. Then you have freedom. Then you have wisdom. You have the expression of your full potential. Okay? And then you have prosperity of all kinds, including that wonderful spiritual invention called money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we should have a lot of it. And there is another set of priorities, which I call relationship priorities. The most important relationship is you to yourself. You've got to keep yourself healthy, strong, vibrant, and positive. Otherwise, you can't share with other people. You know, the oxygen mask goes on you first. And then after you, you take care of another, all others, future generations, so we're not myopic and short-sighted, all life and creation. COVID has taught us we have to take care of this world. Okay? And we can't just live on an island thinking that nature is in a shoebox that's tied up. No, we have to pay attention to the planet. And since no one is perfect, We're all human. We have to have continuous improvement. You start the six fix, you sow and reap the six fix, and you continuously improve. And that's the book in a nutshell, life-centered priorities as a way of reconstructing the values of the U.S. so that we have spiritual health care. And spiritual health care will make us a stronger nation.
Mm-hmm.
It's way beyond money and weapons.
Right. I have to ask you, what has been the responses? Do you get any comments when people purchase the Six Fix? What have the comments been?
It's as I said before, it's been very exciting because I'm getting positive feedback from evangelical quarters. I'm getting positive feedback from liberal quarters. Everyone is seeing that they're seeing the book as their truth. Because everyone wants life to be better.
Right.
And the book just puts it together in a very simple agreement. Can we please all agree that our health and well-being is more important than money? Isn't that pretty obvious?
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Of course, money is a valuable tool for health and well-being.
Right.
But in priority, we got to put the health of our families and our children important. And, you know, this is COVID. COVID taught us the single most important thing in any economy is not bond prices or Wall Street or taxes or no taxes. It's healthy workers.
Mm-hmm.
The economy stops without healthy workers.
Right.
Value priority number one is health, which
right.
is very different than health care, which
right.
is a whole big debate and another subject. But our health
right.
is the most important thing. It is not healthy. In the United States, to be creating war after war after war after war of stupid, ridiculous wars that are wasting trillions of dollars and killing our kids and going nowhere. That isn't healthy. And
right.
it puts enormous pressure on us in the United States.
Right. And I agree
breathe.
That without the people being healthy, we can't have a healthy country or a healthy economy. I mean, I agree with that wholeheartedly.
You can't. In
right.
fact, do you know, Joanne, where the word economy comes from?
No.
It's very interesting. It comes
what
from the
it?
Greek word meaning household. Household. And when we don't have a good economy in the U.S., I'm telling you, it is the result of not treating our people as if they are members of a household.
Mm. Well, that
it's
makes sense.
That simple.
Yep, makes sense. It makes sense.
And that's where the word the word for economy, oikoumene in Greek, means household.
Right.
All right? And that's how we have to conduct our economic policies, family members and household members.
Which
means not to just put them on a dole and daddy take care of them. On the other hand, that doesn't mean leave them alone and let them go out in the world and struggle and be miserable. It means
right.
caring.
Right.
Everyone pulling their weight in the family. That's what it means.
I know, and I think we've come into a stage where people don't care about each other anymore. I mean, in my opinion, COVID should have been treated as a 9/11. We should have all come together as a country and done what needed to be done to move on and take care of this. So, but that didn't happen. So, you know, maybe
no,
we'd be in a better situation.
It got politicized.
Right. Right.
It got politicized. And, you know, I think that's a brilliant insight, Joanne, because, you know, there were two times in U.S. history where our borders were violated. One was 9/11, the other is COVID.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And we were...
Even Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor, we all came together, too.
Yeah, but Pearl Harbor was a little different because it was a base on foreign territory. But these things are piercing the borders of the U.S. We're not safe in our own borders.
Mm.
And that's where all this building the wall because we haven't felt safe within our borders since 9/11, and now COVID brings us, you know, an alien disease into our borders as well.
Right.
Well, spiritual health care, you know, like proposing in the Six Fix, will help us regain our sense of safety in our borders.
Right. Right. Now, we also mentioned last night, for those who were listening in, and that show is gone, by the way. It was such a mess with the connectivity and the technical difficulties. But we mentioned last night, I brought up that, you know, the new census results came out, and it shows, of course, that American white people are diminishing, and we are now the minority to some degree. And I think that the true American white family values and morals are like kind of non-existent. We've got all this melting pot with their own morals and values, which they have, but they may be different from ours. So do you think that is part of the problem too?
Of course. That's why I think since Ronald Reagan, they tried to use Christianity as a way, power of white people, because it would pull black people who are very devout. It would pull Hispanics. It would pull Caucasians. And they could bolster the culture of the United States by using Christianity as a ploy. And I think that was what took place in the Reagan administration. And the only thing in that administration that they didn't include in the melting pots were what we call now LGBT people, right?
Mm-hmm.
They allowed the hatred of LGBT, which helped bring everyone together in a religious righteousness. But so mm-hmm. this has been going on for some time. But here, please, no one out there misinterpret me, but I'm going to address something which is very delicate.
Mm.
Just as you can learn from every enemy that you have some kind of truth, this issue of American culture is very much part of what white supremacists in the United States are talking about. Now, they're afraid. They're doing things that are cruel and wrong. I'm not saying that. But everyone has a little piece of the truth in them. Okay?
Right.
And what they're saying is basically a fact. The culture in the United States is Anglo-derived, very much a skeleton of it comes from an Enlightenment philosophy built upon the value system of Britain, okay? And that's
right.
Who we are,
right.
Okay? And even though it comes from Britain, these values from Britain were very universalist values. Now, because we're a democracy and we vote, everyone has a vote, there is a real threat.
Right.
Because if you have enough minority populations and they're voting as blocks, the culture and the government and the legal principles of the country can be changed by voters. This is happening in Holland. This is happening in Belgium. This is happening in Germany. This is why Brexit was killed, because they were afraid of the intrusion voting population that would dilute and alter the culture of the country. That's why there's a lot of fear.
Right.
Many, many years ago, people were faulting Israel, saying that Israel was racist because they didn't want to give votes and repatriate Palestinians. Well, they were just the tip of the iceberg. If Israel brings everyone who used to be on Palestine in as a citizen and gives them a vote, and they vote to undermine a Jewish state, you have the same problem that America is experiencing out of fear, Britain, and all the European nations. So we have to kind of affirm that each country has a beautiful historical legacy. And as long as that legacy is consonant with universal values, what difference does it make if it comes from a great British white source?
Right.
It doesn't.
Right.
But it
right.
has to be universalist values. And here, Joanne, I don't know if you know the show Hamilton, but here Lin-Manuel made the most magnificent contribution, because the good white history of America became embraced by blacks and Hispanics in the show, meaning
right.
it was their heritage too, even
exactly.
though it was Anglo. And that's
right.
how we have to look in this country. God bless it. It has an Anglo heritage, but that doesn't make it white.
Right.
Okay? Okay? As long as the principles are good, healthy, God-loving, universal principles that should be part of every single society. So
mm-hmm.
it doesn't make a difference whether you learn these principles from Africa or you learn these principles from England. It's the universality of the principles that's important, not the fact that this country is white.
Yeah. It's just,
okay?
It just amazes me that so much has changed, and it's I just hope it we get out of this mess soon, you know? It's ridiculous
well, we
to me.
But you know something, you know, again, I'm a student of the Bible. I'm not pushing religion on people. Back in Bible days, if you had a child, it was your greatest wealth.
Right.
Because the child could work in the fields and help you produce more wealth by creating more crops.
Right.
These days, because we are coin-based and we turn the 6-6 upside down and put value priority 6 over value priority number 1, okay, what happens is children are a liability. They cost so much, we don't have them. So that's what happens to the population. The white
right.
population, which is very sensitive to the economic values of money, they don't reproduce. They invert, really, the biblical value, which is the children are the wealth. And
right.
money is just a tool. So you have a massive spiritual re-education that has to take place in the United States to put our value system based on life.
Well,
on
now,
life.
other than reading your book, how do we get there, Michael? What do we do? What can we do to get back? I don't know.
First thing to do is respect your body. Have you ever noticed that when you have a cold, you sometimes show up at work?
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed you don't even call anyone at the office and say to them, look, I have a cold. I don't want to infect you. Shall I come to work or should I stay home? And if I
it's
don't
happened.
Come.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what I'm saying is everyone pushes their body as if it's a servant. They don't take care of themselves. Okay? They work until they save their money. They get a heart attack. And then they have to spend their money on doctor bills.
Right.
Or go bankrupt to avoid the doctor bills.
Right.
We have to put first things first. We come from the dust. We are human beings who have bodies. They need air. They need water. They need food. We need a certain amount of clothing if we live in a climate that requires it. We need shelter. We got to build from human values, not coin-based or industrial values.
Right.
It's not a matter of capitalism versus socialism. It's an issue of life-based priorities first. And
mm-hmm.
then we can build up the other wonderful things like an incredible money-based economy, which is one of the fastest spiritual tools for sharing. It's a
right.
wonderful thing in its right,
right
place.
Right.
In its right place. In its
right.
wrong place, it's dangerous.
Right.
Okay?
Absolutely, yeah.
So the first thing is to everyone to know that your body connects you to the planet, and if you take good care of your body, you're taking care of the ecology, and you are helping to prevent COVID in the future. It's a simple
right.
thing.
Right.
Put your health of your body first. Care about your health of your body. Okay? Learn to eat correctly.
Mm-hmm.
If you eat correctly, it's also cheap. Nothing's cheaper than vegetables.
Right.
If you
and
eat,
you
could
grow
if you
them
eat
yourself.
Correctly, it's inexpensive.
And you could grow it yourself. Eat out of your backyard.
You can. And you can, you know, leave a tomato buried under the underground. You'll have tomatoes next year.
Right.
So we have to get, I'm not telling us to go back to agriculture. Everyone loves the economy and our computers and our cars and our, you know, radios and our podcasts, and we all love that. But we have to put it on a life foundation. Basics first. basics first. And then we build the economy and all of our wonderful industry based upon the value of life. That is really what the Hebrew Bible is, you know, what's called the Old Testament. And upon that, the more, you know, creative and imaginative teachings of spirit that are, which are Christians, Christian scriptures are based. But we have to build it on the foundation of respect for each and every human soul and respect for creation on earth.
Right.
It's fundamental. It's religious, right, and it's practical.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the way life has been designed for us.
Now this is a stupid question. It just came to me.
Do
you think that the advancement of technology of where we are is playing a role in this as well? That it's changed our lives. It's changed our lives dramatically.
Of course it is. It always has. You know, when human beings invented agriculture and didn't have to just go out into a field and find edible plants, but they found out how to take the animals and breed them, or how to plant the seeds from plants and have gardens, it changed human beings.
Right.
Now we have a different kind of technology where we can actually alter nature. We can make things that nature doesn't even imagine. Okay? We get things like Teflon. You know, nature doesn't fry an egg. We
right.
do, so we create this thing that nature doesn't even create called Teflon that lets our egg slide off. Now, we run a risk because if our technology is not aligned to the health and well-being of creation, where we put human invention before creation, what will happen is we can destroy the very earth that nurtures us.
Right. Right.
And that is really what took place. Our technology
right.
became excessive, and it hurt the planet, and we are experiencing back problems, and the purpose of that is to get us to wake up and say, we need to change. It's
right.
no different than, Joanne, when you make an automobile that belches carbon monoxide into the air. And the automobile, which would bring your families closer together for Thanksgiving, all of a sudden has the effect of increasing asthma and cancer in children.
Mm.
So the very car that you create to bring your families close together geographically actually kills your family. This is what is classically called a sin, where you know, you're aiming the arrow in one direction and you miss the mark. So what
right.
we do, we say, oh, this is not right. We have to improve our technology so it's compatible with human life and it doesn't make us sick. So the issue with technology is not how terrible it is. The issue with technology is when we notice there's a problem that we don't correct it immediately because we don't want to lose money. We
right.
knew 25 years ago that the air needed to be cleaned up and we had to get changed fossil oil, fossil
right.
fuel dependency. But it was all driven by greed and money that delayed it until the problem became huge.
Yeah.
So the six fix is really about getting our values and our relationships in the correct life-centered priority.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
It's
not saying go back to the 50s. It's telling you what to do today, folks, to make this.
You don't want to go backwards.
Right.
What you
right.
want to do is use the technology in a way that's harmonious. Okay. So the male aspect of the technology, which is to kind of change and alter nature, and the female aspect of technology, which is to support and nurture, that the two work together.
Right. Well, folks, get the six fix. It's the six steps of healing yourself and the country at the same time. Last night we focused on the Six Fix. I want to also let everybody know about the soul lessons from The Wizard of Oz, how to follow your yellow brick road. So tell me, what brought you to write that book, and tell folks how it can help them?
Well,
and the correlation between life and The Wizard of Oz, a normal life today versus The Wizard of Oz.
Well, I've always been interested in the story, and since I was a little kid, I always felt it had deep meaning. So one day it hit me on what that The Wizard of Oz story is like a religious scripture, if you correctly understand it. Now, all of us have problems. And when things go wrong and we are not getting good out of life, okay, it's because we sometimes sowed and reaped the problem and didn't know why. To understand what was going on, it's very helpful to have a guide like The Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
Because many times we make a mistake and we are very cruel to ourselves and say, oh, I have no brains. I'm a brainless scarecrow, okay? And then we're very mean to ourselves, all right? And that's not good. That makes us spiritually sick. Well, many times we have a decision where we made a mistake in a relationship where we're blaming ourselves for being like the Tin Man, heartless.
Right.
And we don't forgive ourselves, and then we don't go on to relationships again. We live in the past. And many
right.
times we blame ourselves for not having courage, staying where we are, not making change, not finding happiness, and we fault ourselves for being a cowardly lion. Well, the yellow brick road of The Wizard of Oz is, I believe, a metaphor for this path in life,
mm-hmm.
where each of us has to learn to forgive our scarecrow, forgive our tin man, forgive our cowardly lion,
right,
and recognize that, in fact, we do have brains. We do
right.
have a good heart. We do have courage. And throughout the movie, you see Dorothy constantly having to realize that she did okay, that she doesn't have to feel guilty. And we notice the Scarecrow is the one with the most brilliant ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And the Tin Man is the one who's always crying because even though he thinks he has no heart, he has a heart.
Right.
And the Cowardly Lion demonstrates tremendous amount of courage, even though he believes he doesn't have it. The worst thing we can do to ourselves is really believe that we're deficient. What we need to do is see ourselves as a parent sees a child lovingly, to see our good sides and not be constantly banging ourselves for what we did wrong. Because when we do that, we create spiritual sickness. We don't create spiritual health. And The Wizard of Oz teaches us how to do that.
Do you think people, or a lot of it has to do with a lack of confidence in themselves, that they, I don't know. I just think
yes,
that nowadays
does.
We have a lot more psychological issues these days, and I don't know. I shouldn't say that.
Well, look.
But,
no, I think people these days are comparing themselves to everyone. You know, if they aren't a man that has a body like Sylvester Stallone, they think they're less than a man.
Right.
You know, and these days you can see men who are built like him, he can wear a ponytail, but a short, skinny guy wore a ponytail, they would question his masculinity.
Mm.
So we compare ourselves to other people. And then based upon comparing ourselves to other people, we judge ourselves better or less. And that's a mistake. Each one of us is a unique soul, a very special creation. And we have to appreciate who we are and love ourselves for who we are, not how we compare to other people.
Yeah.
That's a false standard.
Yeah, it's funny. I've never looked at myself that way where I don't care what people think about me. I never did. If I did, I'd never leave my house. I mean, you know, it's like, who cares? I'm my own person. If you don't like the way I look, that's too bad. You don't like the way I dress, that's too bad. I don't dress for you. I dress for me. I do what I do for me. I'm not swayed by advertising or keeping up with the Joneses. It's never been something, I don't know, maybe it was my upbringing. I don't know. I just never.
Yeah, you're very blessed.
I've never looked at life that way. I just live my life as me, you know. It's just,
you're very blessed.
I think everybody should have self-confidence. I mean, at work, I got to bring this up. You know, we had a new boss come in, and he wanted to do a one-on-one with everybody. And a couple of my coworkers are like, oh, my God, what do I say? I don't know what to say. I'm like, are you kidding me? If you can't sell yourself, I mean, who knows you better than you? Then you've got a problem.
Right. And confidence comes from the Latin, confidere, which means with faith.
Mm.
With faith. Mm. You have to have faith in yourself. And otherwise, you're disrespecting the beautiful creation that you are as a soul.
I agree, because I've never looked at myself as that way. I've just like, I just be myself, and everybody should be that way. I try to instill that in my kids too. It's like, you know, you are you, and that, you know, you are what you are, and that's it. And if people don't like it, that's too bad. I mean, it doesn't make you a bad person. You still can be a sympathetic, empathetic person and a caring individual to others, but you know, you are you, and don't care what people think about you. That's the way I look at it. If you care what people think about you, you will never leave your home.
Exactly. But on the other hand, you also have to say that you don't live alone in the world. So you don't want to go into the world so not caring what people think that you affront them.
Exactly.
There's a mutual respect where I respect myself, and therefore I respect how you respect yourself.
Exactly.
You respect yourself, and therefore you appreciate and give me the same courtesy of me respecting myself. And that's the foundation of a healthy democracy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you is how it's expressed in the golden rule in Christian scripture.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And it's as basic a spiritual lesson as you get.
Exactly. I was going to say, it's as basic as can be. Yep, you took the words out of my mouth. Can you share something from the Yellow Brick Road for us to help somebody who is considering on purchasing the book, to just share one thing to help them along the way?
Okay. You know how Dorothy in the book has to go get the broomstick of the witch?
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
The wizard requires her to get the broomstick of the witch?
Right.
This is a very important principle for human spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of us has things that we are most afraid of. Okay? We live in fear of certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And many people hide from those power. We're afraid of it, like we're afraid of the witch of the east, okay? The wicked witch of the west. But unless you have the strength to face your fears, go into your haunted castles, and bring back the broom of the wicked witch, own the power of the very thing you fear, you will be always a prisoner of your inner witch. The secret to getting free in life is to take the very thing you're afraid of, face it, own it, and take its gifts that were frightening you and turn them into gifts that bless you.
Mm.
Okay? It's kind of like if you're afraid of flying, buy 300 airplane tickets and fly until you no longer are afraid.
Right.
Face your fears.
Right.
Face your fears. Own your fears. Bring back the handle, the broomstick of your wicked witch, and then you won't live in fear. You'll have strength and power. It's a great lesson from The Wizard of Oz, and everyone
Definitely.
Needs it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you've written so many things, and last time you were here, you were discussing, you were working on another book. Is it done yet? I'm because you write so fast.
I'm about finished.
Yet?
I'm about actually finished with the book. I have one more reading to make sure it's the way I like it. And yes, it's coming out within the next 6 months.
Oh, great. And what is that one about, or do you can't share with us at the moment?
It is a little bit more religious, meaning, you know, this thing that every religions always talk about called covenant.
Yeah.
You know, I have the covenant. You don't have the covenant. We have the covenant. You have the covenant, you know, and they start to do this religious craziness where I'm saved, you're damned, and all this stuff. Well,
yeah.
I don't think anyone understands what this thing is about. So I wrote a book that just simply explains that covenant is about learning how to align yourself with the laws of nature and life. It's the
right.
same principle that's in the Six Fix.
Right.
Right? And it explains this ancient religious idea called a brit or a covenant in simple, easy terms. You know? So I decided to do that. All right? And I like the result.
Excellent.
And the young students that I've given it to are saying that it's very, very helpful. They're finally understanding what this religious thing is all about.
Right.
They haven't been able to understand it. All they do is get religious party lines. Well, I'm this, you're not. You know, you're damned, I'm saved, you know. You know, but this makes sense of the whole religious teaching because, again, it's a universal spiritual teaching.
Wow. Well, you let me know when it comes out. We'll have you back on for that
of
one.
Of course.
Now, speaking of your writing, I don't know if folks know, you're also a jingle writer and you've written some great jingles. So I'm wondering today, do you still get jingles in your head and ever think about submitting them or no? That's over.
I always get concepts for communications and advertising. In fact, I just made a telephone call this week to the Lubavitch community, you know, the Lubavitch, which is an Orthodox community, because I had an idea on how to help them because they like to promote people to put on tefillin, which are those leather straps that you put on in the morning when they pray. And
right.
I have a very interesting campaign that I think would help them. But, you know, you take the boy out of Madison Avenue, but you can't take Madison Avenue out of the boy. So
right.
I always think in terms of communicating to people, it was my previous career.
Mm. And what were the ones you did? I think you did Gillette.
I'm best known for creating Gillette, the best a man can get. And I've created Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. For Apple Computers, that was a famous campaign. Many, many campaigns.
Yep.
Too many to count.
Wow. Wow. And so I'm glad you said the proper name of Lubavitch because I always thought it was Lubavitch. So thank you for setting me straight on that. That's how I thought it was pronounced, Lubavitch.
Well, different people use a Russian, you know, Polish pronunciation. Some people use an American pronunciation, you know.
Well, I'm so glad we touched base again, Michael. And again, I apologize for not reaching out to you sooner. I know after you were on the show last time, we were supposed to talk offline. And my life got a little crazy with a little bit of everything between, you know, family, working a full-time job and doing the show. And, you know, I'm a one-woman show over here. I do everything myself. And I just needed a major break. And, you know, my body's not the machine it used to be, and I just took a major break. I honestly did. I was actually considering not doing the show anymore. Yeah, well, I actually considered not doing the show anymore because I'm the type of person, if I say I'm going to do something, I do it. You know, I'm a doer. I don't just say, oh, I'd like to do that. Anything I've ever said that I'm going to do, I've done. And just, I was at the point I'm like, well, I did it. Done. And then I'm like, but I love it. It's doing so well. It's really successful, and there's no reason for me to stop. Maybe after the break I'll feel better, and I'm so glad that you're my second guest after coming back, because it's always a pleasure to speak with you. And let everybody know where they can get the Six Fix and also the Soul Lessons of the Wizard from the Wizard of Oz, and also all your other books.
Sure. Just, you know, of course, local bookstore, feel free to ask for them, but you can go directly to Amazon, or you can go to my websites, which is Oz Soul Lessons, OzSoulLessons .com, or SixFixAmerica.com. And you
I'm
can order the book.
I'm writing these down. Oz Soul
And let me give
America.
You a suggestion, Joanne.
Yes, sir.
Since you're having trouble fitting all these things into your life without getting burned out, close your eyes and ask the mystery of all life, or knowledge beyond you, or call it God, or call it anything, goddess, call it anything you want. Say, find a way to make all these things fit in my life in a way that's healthy and wonderful for myself and everyone else.
Right.
You will find that if you do that a couple of times every single day, over time the answer comes.
Right.
There's a creator, a new operating system gets downloaded into your computer, and all of a sudden it begins to work.
Well, that's exactly what I did, Michael. That's exactly what I did, and I rearranged myself to the point that I will be able to do this to make it easier for myself. I'm going to try to no longer do the shows the last week and the first week of the month, because they really coincide with my work, and it's very stressful time for me with my full-time job. So that's one thing. And changing the show times is helping. So, you know, I did work it out with amongst myself, you know. And I'm a doer, honey. I'm a doer. So, you know, I don't sit back and say, I'm going to do this and never do it. Anything, like I said, the only thing I haven't done yet is I have a couple of books I want to write and just never had the time to do it, but I decided what I'm going to start to do is maybe try to write a chapter a day so that I can at least put one in the bag, you know? So
I think it's great. May I make a suggestion that you get yourself a little handheld tape recorder?
I have
instead of writing into the tape recorder, and then we'll transcribe it and create the book.
Yep, I actually use it for when I get inspired for music. Believe it or not, I wake up with a song in my head every day, and that's where I go. I put it on there, and I never go back to it, but that's where they are. But you're right, that's what I should do. I should talk it into there.
Do that.
It would be
a
lot easier.
Gets rid of writer's block instantaneously.
Wow. Thank you for that. Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, Mr. Shivak, what a pleasure speaking with you again. Thank you so much, everybody. Michael
Shivak.
Thank Shivak,
you so much for having me.
Yes. Check out the Six Fix. It's I definitely got to get a copy of it, because Michael knows how the current times have been affecting me, because I love my country to death and can't stand what's going on. And also, the Soul Lessons from the Wizard of Oz, How to Follow Your Yellow Brick Road. And both of these books will help you get through whatever you're going through right now to help you in your life and move on and help you move forward and just in all aspects. Right, Mike? I mean, you know.
That's why I wrote it.
That's right.
I don't want people to suffer like me.
Are you like me? It drives you crazy till it's out in print, like with music. When I write a song, until that song is put down on the tracks and it's recorded and it's mixed and done, that song will haunt me. But once it's done and completed,
it's childbirth.
Yeah,
one gets pregnant with it, and it,
right.
And you contract and bring it into the world.
Oh, speaking of childbirth, did the baby come?
Yes, thank you for little Noah, N-O-A, it's a girl's name, entered the world 2 months ago.
Congratulations.
And she is just absolutely beautiful. Thank you for remembering.
Congratulations. Of course I remembered. You kidding? You kidding? I meant to ask you that last night, but we, of course we got cut off with the technical difficulties. I wanted to ask if the baby arrived. So wonderful news. Wonderful. Everything's coming up roses for Mr. Michael Spivak. And
you
so
bet.
Can you. So can you, folks. Pick up these books and life will change for you dramatically. So thank you again, everybody. Michael Spivak, check out his books. They're on Amazon. Go to anywhere online. Go to bookstores and also the websites. What is it again? OzSoul.
SixFix.com. SixFixAmerica.com. SixFixAmerica.com and OzSoul Lessons. OzSoul
Lessons.com. OzSoul Lessons.com and SixFixAmerica.com. America.com. I got it. Excellent. Excellent. I wrote it down. Wonderful. Everybody, Michael Spivak, check out the books. Michael, thank you. Always a pleasure. Stay well. Come
thank
back.
You.
Let me
thank
know when you,
you
want to come on back. And please call anytime.
I will. And everyone out there, be positive and share it.
That's right. Find your happy
be,
and make everybody else happy. Yes.
And share it.
That's right.
God bless. Thank you, Joanne.
Excellent. Thank you, Michael. Take care, everybody. Michael Spivak. Thank you, Michael. Take
Ciao.
Care, hon. Take care. Love you. Wow. I'm telling you, Michael is he's a wealth of information for me. And, you know, at the time when we first had Michael on, things were going crazy in the country. They still are. They still are. I'm not going to lie. But at least we look like we're closer to an end where, you know, the truth is finally coming out, even though people still don't want to believe the truth. But I love my country. I'm sorry. I was never Democrat, never Republican, never cared about politics. I could care less. But for me to get involved, there's got to be something wrong because I don't care. I don't. I never did. But when you are trying to steal democracy from this country and ruin our country, make people hate each other. I mean, the hate was there before, but you kept it in your house. Go home. Keep it in your house. We don't want you. Okay? Go get vaccinated. If you can't get vaccinated because of health issues, it is totally acceptable, understandable. My God, who can't understand that? But these people who can get vaccinated, what is wrong with you? Your children are dying. Your children are dying because you don't want them to wear a mask. People went to war and lost their lives. You were asked to stay home and wear a mask and get a shot in your arm. You are not patriots, okay? Anyway, I hate to get political. I really do, but that's what it is. So it just sickens me to no degree. Anyway, on 8/15, August 15th, James and Rebecca Guinier, I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly. If I apologize if I'm butchering your name. They're directors and producers, married, and they are the directors and producers of Rekindling Christmas. So that's going to be great. On 8/15, we're going to talk to them. On 8/18, Alex Angel comes back to join us for free psychic readings. We've had many psychics on the show, all great. Alex, for some reason, her and I mean, the connection is just amazing. I don't know if it's because she's a Scorpio as well. I'm a Scorpio. But my God, everything she has told me has come true or is coming true. She's also spoken to my mother, who has passed, and said that my mother said something that nobody would know other than my family members and close friends. And I don't know Alex from Adam. I just met her a couple weeks ago, and she knows nothing about me. And what she said to me is not on social media, so there is no way she could know that. So trust me, she is fabulous, and we'll be doing free psychic readings with her on the 18th. And she has agreed to join us for a month-long engagement, so she'll be with us again on the 25th. And she is really good. Take advantage of this, guys. Free psychic readings, dates 8/25 and 8/18, August 18th, August 25th, 9:30 p.m. Eastern. with Alex Angel. Take advantage of a free psychic reading. And then on 8/19, actress Dee Wallace, you know her best from Cujo. She's been in so many other things. I just saw her in a movie last weekend called Walk a Mile in My Prada's. Very cute movie by Rick Sudi Sarataj. And it was an adorable movie. And she was in that. So I can't wait to talk to her about that. And she's got some other things going on. And then August 22nd, we've got Dr. Annabelle Bugatti. And Dr. Bell, as she's known, she's got a new book out, Using Relentless Empathy in the Therapeutic Relationship. It's another thing we need right now. So can't wait to talk to her as well. And then on August 26th, we've got Steve Peters. He's an AIDS activist, and we're going to be talking about the new movie, The Eyes of Tammy Faye. Not sure if you recall, well, Tammy Faye Baker and Jim Baker were evangelists. Well, Jim was. And, you know, during the time of AIDS, God forbid you went near anybody with AIDS, just looking at them, you caught it, which was absolutely ridiculous. So Tammy Faye actually had an interview with Steve Peters. And it was like the first interview with, I believe, I could be wrong, definitely the first interview with evangelists to talk to an AIDS patient. So that's going to be really interesting. And the movie, The Eyes of Tammy Faye, looks very good. So we're going to talk about that. So and we'll find out what his role was in the movie. So that's going to be great. So anyway, again, Michael Shivak, check out his books, The Six Fix. If you need some help getting through what's going on today in this world and, well, the country in specific, and also Soul Lessons from the Wizard of Oz, How to Follow Your Yellow Brick Road, and all spiritual healing, and nothing religious, guys. So don't think it's that. A spirituality thing on finding yourself, you know. So anyway, it is the weekend. So tomorrow, James and Rebecca Ganier talking about their new movie, Rekindling Christmas. So since it's the weekend, let's close out with Weekend, if I have it here. Do I have it? Yeah. Have a great day, guys. Have a good weekend. We'll see you. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening. Thank you again, Michael. Always a pleasure speaking to you. We'll talk soon. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.